come to this place and to be led in the same like we have since being here is worth our trip. Such singing will just lift you off of your feet. You can't come to a service of this kind and do the thing that we've been led in without going away from here a blessed and more consecrated person. You can't do that. Wonderful singing, wonderful prayer, just pray. He's spending this day, we'll never forget it. The invitation that Brother Springfield sent to me, signed by nearly 200 of you all, I'm going to have it framed. I want to look at it every day when I'm at home. There's something about it that everybody that saw it said they never seen anything like it. And I'm standing here imagining who thought of that. I can't find out who started it or who thought of it. But I just want to thank the elders and the minister of this church for an invitation like that. And thank everybody that signed it. Something in that, in that invitation that you just can't get over. A lot of people thought I was going to go crazy over my invitation. And some said, oh, what? But I'm sound, I'm all right. They said, is he crazy? Oh, no, he's not crazy. He's just got something nobody else knew it yet. Nobody. I've been inquiring around. I carried out to Brother Ian Bush, one of the greatest blessings to the Church of Christ that lives today. Said he never saw nothing like that. Everybody I showed it to said that, so I concluded they're right. Wonderful. Now you all don't know. You never will know what that invitation means. Not only to Brother Keeble, everybody I showed it to. And I'm not through showing it. I thank God for such people. I don't see how you thought of it. Somebody I'd like to see who started it. But nevertheless, with joy I come. And I had a job getting Brother Cato to come. He's busy. But I got him to lay down his little affairs and come to a thing bigger than that. He sees that now. He admits now he wouldn't have missed this for nothing. And I wouldn't have missed him for nothing. So there we are. God worked in mysterious ways. He always did. Still doing it. I can't see how I got here, neither can he see how he got here. But we're here. And his lesson today, I think, thrilled everybody. I do. So many complimentary things have been said about. Only thing that is wrong about Brother Cato, they can't get his name right. But I will have to stay around here for several weeks to get that name right. But nevertheless, what come out of the man that has that name is what we got this morning. Stimulation we'll never forget. And that wonderful prayer I just prayed, just lifted me up and set me down. And so if I don't preach right now, you can understand what's the matter. I'm overflowed with joy. Get that away, your cup runs over. You've driven cars, haven't you? No, you can't get nowhere when you flood your carburetor. You know, you look like you're acquainted with that. You look like you are. You're acquainted with that old Model T Ford, too, that you had to crank. I know you are. A lot of you got hit while you're cranking it. Same time, you're acquainted. You never will forget it. But now I'm so glad that we have an automatic way of starting these motors. Many man's skull got saved by this automatic system. I thought I'd talk this morning on an automatic religion just to see if I can handle it like I used to. I'm so overjoyed, I don't know whether I can handle it or not. I'm going to try to work on an automatic religion this morning and prove to you that the Bible has in it an automatic religion. And that's why the world can't understand the Church of Christ. But the whole thing is automatic. They want one now where you roll at the morning's paint and beat your drums and crank it, you know. Well, that was back there before we got a hold of this automatic machine. Now we have an automatic machine. Jesus Christ brought an automatic doctrine here, an automatic system of religion. You don't have to crank nobody. That's right, nobody gets kicked, you see. So that's the reason why we changed that. Now, I want to talk about automatic. Went back, I'm going back down to creation and then come on down to where we are. Going back to creation and Adam and Eve's creation back there, God created Adam, and man today was created, come from a man created by the name of Adam. And God named him, and God created him. But God wants man recreated, made over. Man's only thing that he ever made that he got tired of. And the only thing that he ever made that he repented that he made him. Out of all these things, baboons and monkey and giraffe and everything, we are the only thing that he got sorry that he made. And when you think of man, sure enough, you can't blame God. So after cranking, making man, and even crank Adam and made him out of the dust of the earth. And he had to have some water and some dirt and all of that made that first, because that's the material that the man's made out of. God made his material and then made the man out of the material. Am I correct that far? Amen. I thought I was. Nobody wouldn't grunt. I didn't want to. Thought I'd got off the track somewhere. But anyway, I'm still on the track. And God created the heavens and the earth. The earth is out form and void, and darkness moved upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of the Lord moved on the face of the water. Man's not made. But you got the water there to make him, got the dirt there to make him, and then he created in him the breath of life. Or blew into his nostrils the breath of life. Laying there made out of dirt, nothing but dirt. Just laying there, great big man stretched out, Adam was. Out of nothing but dirt, as a thing in the world. And if you don't believe you're made out of dirt, you just die, and you'll go back to dirt. And I'd like to tell you why you look so nice and good. You're not a thing in the world, but a big lump of dirt sitting out there with a necktie on. That's all. And you look nice. But did you know it take a God to make something like this? Nobody but God can make a man out of dirt and then make him look like we look. God had to do it, but he had his dirt first and had water. And you know, I used to make little mud men, but I had to get him some water and some, but I couldn't get no breath in the thing. It wouldn't work after what he made. You see, and so it is with us today. We can make the man, but we can't do it. He won't work. Jesus Christ, the God Almighty, made him out of the dirt and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man automatically got up. Just automatic, no cranking and nothing, just blew in his nostrils automatically. This thing you call man began to walk. There's a God somewhere. Somebody tried to make me believe that God's dead. Not as long as you see everything moving as it's moving, I believe that. Over here at Reed Hardeman College, last the lectureship over there, I said, God is dead, they say. And my old brother Gus Nichols, a good old friend of mine, hollered back at me and said, I didn't know he was sick. But after all, man's would like for God to be dead, because God's going to finally meet him and send him to some place that he deserves, hell or heaven. I would like to tell you how you can avoid hell. You'll have to be made over. You'll have to be automatically made. There's not a Christian in here that wasn't automatically made a Christian. Not a one. Not a child of God in here. Brother Keeble included. I was automatically made what I am. Well, somebody said, I can't say amen till you explain that. Well, when I explain it, I'm looking for you to say something. Did you know that in Jesus Christ, or when God Almighty made this lump of dirt and all laid out in the image of men. God made him in his own image. And there he lay, and he's just helpless, lifeless, and Jesus just breathed in his nostrils, didn't crank him, just breathed, and he automatically got up. There was a time you would have lights in your home, you'd have to light the old kerosene lamp and the wick and everything, get it all smoked up, and now you step to the button at home, press the button, and automatically your lights go on. No cranking downstairs, no doing nothing, just press a button. You're glad you got it, haven't you? It's a blessing to humanity. Many of us would have to go into dark homes and dark rooms every night if it wasn't for that little button at the door. Automatically touch the button and the lights comes on in the house, all over the house. I'm going to show you, since you look a little strange with me, I'm going to show you, if you're not a Christian yet today, that I can tell you where you can automatically become a child of God. Just go down there in water baptism and touch Jesus. And if you'll allow me, I'll call him a spiritual button. And you touch him in water baptism, buried with Christ, Romans 6 and 4. Buried with Christ. You get with Christ the minute you hit him, you become the light of the world. Amen. Look like you're all awful slow about it. I'm going over it again because you don't look like. I claim that the worst one, the chief of sinners, Saul of Tarsus, he had to be baptized to get his sins washed away, automatically washed away. Nobody cranked him. Nobody moved and shouted around him and rolled. And Ananias stood and get up and be baptized and washed those sins away. Any praying going on? No, don't have to pray. Now these churches are not in the Bible. Pray all night trying to bring a man through. Amen. Amen. They do it. That means they do it. I ain't lying on them. They do it. They put him down there. But at the same time, they can't do it like the Bible says. The Bible says the very minute a man touches Jesus and understands what he's doing, he touches Christ and becomes the light of the world. The light of the world. That's right. That's we now love to preach. Nobody got a doctrine like the church of Christ. Nobody. I mean nobody. We don't roll nobody. Got a good carpet down here. We can roll him all right. Got a good carpet, you wish. But we're not in the rolling business. We're not teaching men to pray that their sins may be pardoned. And if you're in here tonight and say to this evening and say you prayed and got your sins pardoned, you need to read your Bible. You need to read your Bible. You need to learn where Christ is. He's dying in water. This lady was baptized this morning. I was looking at her. She met Jesus. Somebody said you couldn't see him? No, he's a spirit. And you seek and search to worship him in spirit and in truth. Buried with Christ. Buried with him. Not prayed with him. Not moaned with him. Buried with him. You rise out of the water, you go down one man and come back another. Now let me go over that. I never did bury men in baptism. I was 10,000 of them. And I knew I'd put the man down. When I brought him back, if I scripturally taught him, I brought back another man. Amen. You know y'all ought to be shouting. I'm telling you this doctrine. In a world of confusion where people don't understand the doctrine, it makes you happy to talk about it. You need it. When do you make a Christian people? When you comply with God's law? Automatically. Saul of Tarsus went down, chief of sinners. Come back, a Christian. Come back, the light of the world. Amen. Yes, you know, you let me say, brother, but in the end, you'll get round to it. Baptized in Jesus Christ. And do you know, I'm thankful that this doctrine is so simple and plain, a fool or a wayfaring man shall not err that in. I was so glad to see this young lady and her. I don't know which one I'm prouder of this morning than she or her husband. Why? Because when a man gets into church, a person gets into church and obeys the gospel, they're harder to turn than the one coming out of the world. after you obey this and go back into your former doings and all the practices and other things you used to do, you wash off from the one that never made an effort. And you ought to rejoice more over one that comes back and you rescue him and bring him back. That young man was brought back. That wife was carried down and made a new creature. He was the old one that I was working over. I had to work him over, don't you see that? And I had that same experience at Lord and Uncle Woman. A white lady and her husband come walking down the aisle. They were a little ageable. They didn't have a little baby with them, but they were man and wife from California. Over here at Lawton, just about 2 weeks ago, they come walking down the aisle. Never saw nothing look better. I knew there was a man and his wife when I seen them coming. 1,500 people in the city auditorium. And these man and wife, I better tell you, they're both white. They're not Negroes, they're white. You know you like to learn that. And when a man understands the gospel, he don't care whether the preacher's white, red, or green. He wants to die. That kind of about his color, he wants to die. And you get right hungry, you ain't care about who hands you the biscuit. Biscuit's what you want. You want the biscuit, you want the biscuit. And same way about people. When you want to be saved, you want the gospel. When I looked up the aisle that night, in that big auditorium, a seat about 1,500, and saw this man and a lady, I just judged that was a man and his wife. Showing up in the triple seat there, she wanted to be baptized. She's coming from the Baptist church, and the Baptists don't teach baptism for remission of sin. And he wanted to be restored. Living together, disconnected, not in fellowship, right in the same home, and not in fellowship. They left that building in fellowship. How you know that they obeyed the doctrine and makes a man over? He went back home a Christian. He'd been going home a sinner. Let's make it plain while I'm telling it. Yeah. Somebody said, how do you baptize so many people, Kiva? Telling it plain like this. A lot of our brethren are afraid they'll hurt somebody's feelings. Don't be afraid. You can't. If Jesus had been afraid of telling the truth, why, he never would have been the savior of mankind. He told it till he died. He told it till they resurrected him. He told it after he got back to heaven, and for fear it wouldn't be told other people, he told the apostles, you go up to Jerusalem. I want this taught as long as the word stands. And I'll pray the Father. Got up there to heaven, and let me use this. Now the Bible don't say this, and don't y'all look for this either. Jesus got back to heaven, and there's just three up there when he got back. There wasn't but two, but Holy Ghost and God were still waiting for his return. Is that all right? You look like you're help the old man out. Anybody sitting out there like you are, help me out. I need an amen. I'm not begging for one. I would appreciate one. Did you know they got back to heaven and had a council? Holy Ghost, Jesus Christ, and God Almighty. And the decision was, the people don't know that the gospel's down there, and they got to be notified. Send the Holy Ghost down and make it make a great noise so they'll know it's arriving. Is that all right? It's a mighty rushing wind. The Church of Christ trying to be right quiet. You can't be right quiet in here. This thing started with a noise. Is that all right? Amen. Goodness alive. All right. Starts off with a great noise. Whereabouts? In the city of Jerusalem. A great noise. It came down. And the apostles, after they got the charge of the Holy Ghost, got charge of them. They went to work preaching, and about 3,000 were baptized to wash their sins away, or for remission of sins. And when that 3,000 came out of the water, they were born again. They were made over. They were new men, new women. Born again and regenerated, heir of God and a joint heir of Jesus Christ. I'd anybody here to disturb that. Thank you. I'm mighty dry, amen, but anyway. I got one. One's better than none. Did you know when you carry a man down into water baptism, if he's correctly been taught, you bring back another man. can't break that lady that was baptized with the name come up out of the water, another woman. She'll go back home with her husband, another woman. Another woman. She'll nurse that little baby, but she'll be another mother. Another mother, made over today. Or what you call that, born again, regenerated, an arrow God, a joint of heaven, who? Jesus Christ. And anything that'll make joint means equal. Anything that'll make you equal with Christ is worth doing. It's worth doing. Joint ass. Born again. Joint ass. I understand this, I think. I think I have a Bible understanding of it. Another thing made me so happy today. The mother of this child sitting over here in this wheelchair said, Brother Keeble, I want you to meet my son. And you know, to go over there and meet him, it was an inspiration. And that mother, so anxious, said, I go, you don't know how to sympathize with people until you get acquainted with them and get the love of God shed abroad in our hearts. It's a blessing to have him sitting in. A blessing. And a mother right here to look at him and ask me to go speak to him. That's my son sitting over there, proud of him as she could be. If he was the president of the United States, she wouldn't be no prouder. God made him. I was glad to go over there, and I couldn't help but shed a few tears while I was speaking to him. You know, you're just sympathetic. You weep with one another. He said, blessed are you. We mourn with one another. We cry with one another. I stood here and cried today when I seen this lady coming with a child and her husband coming down. I couldn't help it. The Bible said, weep with them that weep. Church ain't weeping enough, no, too dry. Nothing don't make you cry, just dry, hard boiled. Hard boiled, don't no cry about nothing. I ain't no baby, you better be one. Bible tells you to weep with them that weep. Mourn with them that mourn. What he says, not many of us doing it, but that's it. Now then, automatic religion.